from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
How about these Astros, y'all? I mean, look, there's plenty of reason to feel good about the Houston Astros. We've talked about them at length over the last week. This week and maybe even late last week with what was going on. I mean, the most impressive run definitely of the season. The Astros have won 7 in a row. They've won 10 of the last 13. They've cut the lead that the Mariners had in this division from 10 down to 4.5. They've taken over the second place spot. I think they're now four and a half games ahead of the damn Rangers. At this point in the division as well. So the Astros are rocking and rolling. There's a couple of things that we've discussed about this run the Astros have made. One being that the bats in this lineup have been absolutely tremendous, and it's been a group effort, man. You look at Bregman swinging it lights out. Altuve is swinging it well. We've seen a leadoff home run. We've seen White Boy Chaz have a day. We've seen Diaz have a couple of days. It's convincing because it's so many different bats that are contributing and playing a big part in it. And then you look at the pitching. The pitching has been spectacular, led by the youngsters, man. Ronel Blanco, Hunter Brown, and Spencer Arrighetti. Hunter Brown's had 7 straight quality starts. Again, he's been lights out. Ronel Blanco, all but maybe 1 or 2 starts this year have been like eye popping good. Spencer Arrighetti. It just had his best outing with, I think, 10 strikeouts. He's been really good in 6 of his last 7 starts. And so the Astros are rocking and rolling. As I said, coming into going into that last break, another part of it, I'm listening to a little Hunter Brown audio, and I hear Notorious Thug by Biggie and Bone back in the day. That was a banger on Park Street, no doubt about it, in the early 90s. I guess that was the early 2000s, I'm sorry, early 2000s. Through hell for me, it never stopped. It was up at Arkansas as well, rocking and rolling. It was just one of them songs that's on my list of about 10. Where when that song drops, you got to stop, ask everybody to quiet down a little bit, ask old Tyler the DJ, T Mill the real deal DJ in there to turn the music up a little bit and let me bob my head. Just what it is, just the way it is. To think that this generation of baseball players in Major League Baseball, at least the Astros, in the Astros clubhouse, they're banging that kind of music. It turns me on a bit. I'm not going to lie to y'all. It turns me on a bit. I did a little digging. I did a little digging, and I got something that may be a little bit more impressive than the fact that Notorious Thug was banging in the locker room behind Hunter Brown. Boy, that could have gone south. Banging in the locker room behind Hunter Brown.
Pause. I mean,
the music and Notorious Thug is the name of the song, y'all. As I said, the Astros won 7 in a row, 10-13. They've last 6 ball games when they did their most damage, played their best baseball. They scored 44 runs, boys. They've been lights out. I took a little closer look at Yordan Alvarez and his production in the last 6 games. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Tyler, Ron, I believe the first 2 games of the Chicago series, he missed those 2 games with the personal days.
Yep.
Whatever was going on. So I took the 1 Chicago White Sox game that he played, which the Astros won. He did have 3 hits in that game and 2 RBIs. He swung it well.
He had a home run in his first pitch.
Yep. 2 RBIs, 3 hits. The Astros scored 5 runs. He was responsible for 2 of them. This is where it gets interesting, though. Baltimore series, the Astros were lights out, scored 27 runs. Yordan Alvarez in 3 ball games had 1 hit and 2 RBIs. The Colorado Rockies, 2 games, Stroh scored 12 runs. Yordan Alvarez had 2 hits and no RBIs. Yordan Alvarez has had 4 RBIs over the last 6 ball games, and the Astros have scored 44 runs. I highlight that not to pour shade on Yordan Alvarez in any way, shape, or form. I say that to say the others are producing in a major, major way, because don't forget, the Astros don't have Kyle Tucker, and those numbers over the last 6 games for Yordan Alvarez have been pedestrian. I don't know where you're at as a fan, but for me, to think that this team can score 44 runs with a pedestrian Yordan Alvarez and no Kyle Tucker gets me really good and turned on for the future of Yordan getting right, getting that OPS back up around 1,000, and Tucker getting back healthy and getting in this lineup and producing in a major way. Ron, that to me is another very, very convincing layer to why I think the Astros run over the last 10, 13 games is just something that's going to last a while.
Yeah, because it's like there's clearly more left to do for the Astros, more left on the table for the Astros to improve themselves. It's like in a basketball game, all right, somebody's down by 20 and they find a way to get all the way back. And then it's like, damn, they've used everything they had to get all the way back, and then, you know, they lose the lead again, and right, they go down. In this case, the Astros haven't used everything they can do all of their best to get to this point. As you said, they've got injuries. They've had some of their top players injured and not really producing at the level that you kind of expect them to do. And it's like, there's a lot more on the table for the Astros. There's a lot more that they can put forth in coming back. And it's not like they've just wasted all of their bullets just to get to 4.5 back and 500.
Yeah, think about that, Ron. They ultimately, the Astros have made up some significant ground, cutting the lead that the Mariners had in over a half. And they were down 10 games in the division. It's 4.5 right now. And they did it, and they didn't empty the tank doing
no,
it, right?
I mean,
even more. Look, I mean, you cut loose of Abreu, and John Singleton appears to be the guy. No, it's not how it's going to work. Dubon is going to be the guy. Tucker's hurt, and the guys that have filled in right field have been absolutely tremendous. So the thought of – I like your analogy there of they have not emptied the tank in any way, shape, or form to get back to – a respectable spot in the division, a good bit of games, 16 games before the All-Star break. And the big piece there is Yordan Alvarez. Ron, I know you've talked a little bit about Yordan Alvarez, and just the season he's had thus far has just not been what we expected it to be or what anybody expected it to be, simply because he's in a league of about 5 players when it comes to hitters in this league, and he just hasn't He just hasn't produced at that level yet. But we all believe that it's just a matter of time and it's coming. So this thing could take a whole nother, scoring 44 runs in the last six games, this thing could take a whole nother step in the right direction when Yordan Alvarez gets hot and Tucker gets
better. He hasn't been bad. I'm not gonna say that at all. But he's been a pretty good player this year when we expect him, at least I do, expect him to be a great player. And that's just kind of where he is set. If you just, when you compare him to the other great players in the league, which I think he should be compared to, the Shohei Ohtanis, if Ronald Acuna Jr. was playing him, if he wasn't injured, the Soto, the Judge, I think he should be in their camp. If you go put their numbers side by side, and this year, there's not an explanation of, well, Yordan's been injured. No, he hasn't. He's played all but three games this year for the Astros. His numbers aren't anywhere near where those guys' numbers are, and it should be, right? And honest to God, many categories, he has not passed Kyle Tucker in. And Kyle Tucker hadn't played all month. He's played 17 more games than Kyle Tucker. So that's it. He's just not on the level that we would expect him to be on.
Well, you mentioned guys, the big hitters in the league, Juan Soto, obviously, two of them up in New York, Aaron Judge. The shortstop with the Orioles is lights out. I don't know that he's in that category, but he's been lights out this year. I mean, you got a handful of guys that Yordan is just in that he's that caliber player of top five in the league in terms of swinging the bat, and he just hasn't been that damn good this year. And I firmly believe that at some point in time, his overall numbers on the season may not be there, but he's going to get hot, and he's going to put up some monster numbers. And when that happens, if these other guys that are swinging it well and these young pitchers are still pitching well and they can somewhat get healthy from a starting rotation perspective, look out, man. The Astros have been good of late. They can be significantly better if that's the case. Hey, guys, I y'all might want to buckle up on this one. Have y'all seen this this Kyle Filipowski?
Is this the situation with the Mormon girlfriend?
Yes. Have you seen this, Tyler?
I am unaware of what you are speaking on.
I don't know a whole lot about it. I saw it making the rounds.
Well, it's wild. So Kyle Filipowski, the I believe he was a center. Was he a center or
it's more it's a forward, power forward. Yeah. From Duke. Yeah.
Okay, from Duke. And he's the one everybody remembers. Had the ankle injury, fell out on the floor, and then tripped the, I think it was a North Carolina player. I think that's who it was. And it was a lot of stink was made about it. I remember that play.
His big thing was the court storming, and he got
that's
shot
right, that
down
too.
On the ground.
Yes, that
against
too.
Wake Forest.
So this is wild, man. He got drafted number 32 overall. Right now he's 20 years old. He got drafted number 32 overall by the Utah Jazz.
Perfect team.
Second pick in the second round?
Second round, yeah.
And look, there was some, when all this first started, a video of him leaving the green room after not getting drafted on night one in the first round with his girlfriend, I think, kind of made some rounds, right? But this story is nuts, man. So apparently, when Kyle was 14 years old, this chick, right? Her name's Caitlin Hutchinson. This chick, who is seven years older than Kyle is, she was his babysitter, right? She was, and some of this is coming out in the wash. Her parents and Kyle Filipowski's parents were really, really, really good friends, right? Some people are saying that this is that they're cousins or something. They're not. They're trying to make this thing more rough to discuss than it already is. But they were just really close friends. So he's 14 years old. She's the babysitter somehow, right? They end up dating. She's 24 years old at the University of Alabama, and she comes back and goes to prom with Kyle Filipowski. They date, and she starts, and I don't know exactly when this started, but she starts grooming this dude to be a Mormon.
No, he wasn't a Mormon before.
He apparently he was not a Mormon before. She starts grooming him and separating him from his family, right? Keep in mind, she's 6 years older than Buddy. And at 7 years, 6 or 7 years older than Buddy. And
I heard they'd start a date when he was rather young.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it'd be legal if the dates don't line up, right? So apparently she started grooming this dude to be a Mormon, right? And split him from his family ultimately. He just wrote off his folks, wrote off his brother, wrote off his sister, and they're together. And then he ends up getting drafted by Utah, which obviously there is a huge Mormon presence in Utah. So everybody's thinking that's a hell of a deal.
Big spot.
So the brother, Ron, this is all coming out as we speak, like over the last 24 hours. The mother and the brother are spilling all the tea on social media. Talking about going to these like giving all the details of all this, right? They're straightening, but she's not family, it's not cousin, but our parents just grew up real tight together. She's older. She drove a wedge between him and the family, and he disowned us and wrote us all off, kind of deal. And it's wild, man. It's wild at this point that they're going, the mother and one of the brothers is telling all, like I said, spilling all the tea on social media, and the another one of the brothers is validating it all. he's going, hey, I don't know if y'all read all this, but that really, Becky, that really is Kyle's mom, and Daniel, that really is Kyle's brother, and what they're saying is true.
It's the truth.
Just letting y'all know it's true. This is the real deal. Could you imagine, man?
And so he's just got no real communication with the family.
Apparently has no communication None. With the family, and they blame it all on her and say that she's drove the wedge and she's been the reason that there's no connection, and she's the reason that he's now Mormon and doesn't communicate with the family.
Yeah. They sound like this show I watch on TLC, Tyler, called Welcome to Platteville.
I don't think I'm old enough to start watching that yet.
No, you are. You are.
What do y'all do with your free time?
TLC, it's a Tyler, it is drama field, baby. Reality TV,
okay,
baby.
Okay.
Oh, it is drama field, baby.
I've just never really been that much into reality television,
Oh,
man.
My God, dude. It's very similar to that. They're a kind of religious family that's very, very tight, and they believe that their oldest son, his wife, has taken him from them, and they don't get to see him. This is
Ron. That
very
may
similar
be,
to it.
All joking aside, Ron, that may be the worst scenario a man or woman could be in, is have a significant other that is driving the wedge and pulling them from the family. Boy, that would be a tough. Woo.
Yeah.
Especially if you really loved him and that heart was on the line, and boy, next thing you know, this is what's going on. That would be rough. But I mean, let's can we put the spiritual aspect of this aside? And just, I mean, could you imagine being 18 years old going to prom and you show up with a 24, 25-year-old?
Mm.
She's pretty good looking, too, by the way.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I mean, could you imagine? I'd peacock all over that sumbuck.
You got to be.
Does a peacock make that sound? Is that it?
Yeah.
I'd imagine. I imagine people thinking to themselves, they're like, damn, man.
Damn, he's finna go home. Like, everybody else is like, should I try? Should I touch something? Should I touch something?
They said that's what happens when you're the star of the basketball team and you're going to Duke.
Good gosh. He's bringing a senior at Alabama.
At Alabama, yeah.
A senior from Bama. A looker.
She wanted any of the basketball players at Alabama.
Hey, two things. She must have seen Buddy in the shower when she's babysitting, and then she must have known from jump he was gonna be a big money guy.
She's gonna make
some bread.
She fell completely in love.
Man.
Wow. Hopefully.
Oh, Kyle, man, get right with your family, man.
Please.
Get right with your family. I know it's powerful. I know it's got you in a spot, but get back with your family, man.
Yeah, do that thing. Yeah, man, do that. All right. Well, he's in Utah, so should be it shouldn't.
She's gonna
I bet it grows more. I bet it grows more. All right, coming up, we talk a lot about the young players like Tank Dell and obviously C.J. Stroud. But there are some guys on the other side of the ball, too, that should be talked about as well. We'll do that coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Tannehill in the pocket, and he sacked Will Anderson Jr. back at the 45-yard line. The Terminator gets it done. Tannehill to throw, more pressure on the way, and Will Anderson gets him again. Back-to-back sacks.
All right, welcome back in to The Drive. As you hear that there, Mark Vandermeer, Clint, I think we're going to hear a lot of that coming up next year. But I throw
Let's
this.
Get it on, baby.
Thanks, Mark. I throw this out to you and the people, because I am curious where people's thoughts are on this. Because I think there's some real potential in this defense, especially from young players. And there are some all over the place, right? But I think there are three young players that, at least for me, really jump out. And to me, I'm like, ooh, these guys got a chance to take big steps. These guys got a chance to take big jumps. It's year two in this defense, and I think we're starting to see that D'Amico and Matt Burke kind of want to use these guys in a certain way and get a feel for what these guys can do and what they're capable of. And now they know the defense even more, and I think there's a chance we could see some major jumps. And the three guys to me that I look at, you just heard that, Will Anderson Jr., Christian Harris, who really came on in the second half of the season, the playoff game. Hell, I've heard guys talk about him potentially being all pro. I heard Indy Kalu, when he filled in on In the Loop, say that one day, that he felt like he's got a chance to be an all pro, not just a pro bowler. And then Derek Stingley Jr., who was the player of the month late in the season and just had a great end of the season once he got back from injury. But I throw it to you and the folks out there. If I were to say to you, all right, you got these three guys to choose from. These three guys to choose from that you think will take the biggest leap. One at every level of the defense. Will Anderson on the line, Christian Harris in the linebacking core, and then obviously in the secondary, Derek Stingley Jr. Who would you say, Clint? You can text in 713-572-4610. Or on YouTube and Twitch, who would you say is the guy that you think we'll be talking about the most, saying, oh, that guy took a major jump?
I think it's Derek Stingley Jr. I'll be honest with you. I think a lot of the hype that he's received over the last 2 years, when he
was a Tiger, but now you're a Texan, man.
That guy right there, when he was on the field, I think a lot of it was forced because he was a number three overall pick, because he is obviously a very, very good corner. Until the shadow game where he shadowed Amari Cooper and shut him down.
In the playoffs,
yeah. In the playoffs, after late in the season, Amari Cooper shredded the Texans. The adjustment was to go with Derek Stingley Jr. Like, I think that's real. Like, that was a moment where you're like, wow, right? I mean, before that, you're just, you know, I don't know that there was, like, wow moments where you're like, this dude has got a real chance to be Pro Bowl, all-pro caliber player. That happened, it changed the game. With that said, he's had 20 starts in a two-year career. He's had 6 interceptions, right? A couple of those interceptions have been wow moments, sure.
One against Denver, jumps out.
Yeah, but the big picture, I just think 1 week we could potentially get a full season out of the guy. And if we do, the numbers, I think, just by how good he is and how sticky he is in coverage, I think the numbers are going to be eye-popping. And I think the ceiling for Derek Stingley is all-pro. I think this guy could make the jump from being a good corner, being a guy that's got a lot of talent that everybody thinks is trending in the right direction, to, wow, he's one of the best in the league.
Do you believe that's the ceiling for all three of them, all-pro?
Well, oh yeah, yeah. I think there's. I mean, I don't think I would put a ceiling on them below All Pro. Christian Harris. I don't know. That's a big step for Christian Harris, maybe, because I think for a linebacker to be All Pro, you have to play behind a really, really good front. I think there are some guys obviously that have played and been All Pro and been Pro Bowl that didn't have a stud defensive line in front of them, but it is few and far between. Like, most of those dudes have an elite foursome in front of them, and their job is made significantly easier. I don't know that Christian Harris is there. I think, because now we're getting to the conversation of, like, okay, you know, do the stars align for them schematically and personnel wise? I don't know if that's all in line for Christian Harris to have as big a year as Derek Stingley, I think, could potentially have. And I'll be honest with you, with Will Anderson, I think Will Anderson still got a long way to go to be an elite pass rusher in this league. He's an every down defensive end that plays the run and the pass and can play a huge number of snaps when need be, who obviously is a 5-star leader kind of deal. But I don't know that his pass rushing ability is going to put him in the 14, 15, 16 range to put him in the same category of what I think. I think Derek Stingley just has to stay healthy. I think Derek Stingley stays healthy, he's going to make enough plays to be a Pro Bowler and make a huge jump in kind of the reputation or the outlook of his season.
Yeah, for me, I think you put it up. You said something there. I think a lot of this, Clint, can be looked at upon stats, numbers. Some of that will be a jump. Like, if Derek Stingley has 5-6 interceptions, if he matches what he has through 20 games, which is possible, like that will get him. Hell, that might get him to the Pro Bowl alone. But that will make, you know, the thought of, wow, he really took off. And I do think Will Anderson plays a number position, which is sacks, Clint. And you know, if he rolls in here and jumps from 7 to 12 sacks, like, that's going to be a big jump. And I think that's going to be a big jump a lot of people are talking about. And like you said, we know he's going to be physical and play the run as well as he did last year. But the other part for me and why I go Will Anderson is, I am with you. I don't think that Will Anderson, you know, at least from what he's shown us right now, Clint, has the, man, I'm about to just, you know, like Von Miller in his prime, just come around the corner and contort my body around tackles so they can't, with my bend, they can't get me, or just the speed that other guys just come around the corner, or the complete power and everything, power and speed combination, like a J.J. Watt coming off the edge. But I think, Clint, he's going to be able to take advantage of a lot of right tackles and getting a lot of one-on-one coverage, because Danielle Hunter out there on the other side of him. Danico Autry potentially coming from the inside that people may feel like they need to help. I think he's going to see a lot more single coverage than a player of his ilk is used to seeing. And I think that will help. And Clint, something that I think we complained about and I think we'll talk about, they didn't move him around a lot last year like we were hoping they would. He pretty much primarily just stayed over the right tackle. I wonder if that is the kind of the next step with D'Amico and how he uses Will Anderson. Does he move him around more to create matchups that could be advantageous for him? So I think Will has a good chance to be well into the double-digit sacks, which I think could really, really be a recipe for him taking a jump.
That's an interesting point, Ron. I think it's obviously a segment for later, but the thought of, because I was bullish, and I still am, by the way, on the best way to use him is in a clowny manner. I think there were some knocks on Clowney, obviously. I'm not talking about the taking plays off and not being disciplined and all that kind of stuff. But when Clowney was at his best, I'll be honest with you, I don't know that Will Anderson isn't fairly similar. Both of them, neither one of them had ridiculous bend and this toolbox of pass rushing moves. Now, Will may go out there and develop his where I don't know that Clowney ever did. But my point is boy, you take a high motor guy that is more physical than most guys, that is a cerebral player in terms of being where he's supposed to be, when he's supposed to be there, plays with great instincts, and all of a sudden you now, instead of him just having his hand in the dirt and rushing against a tackle that maybe as good of an athlete and can get help, but from with a running back or a tight end, you now have the ability to move him inside and take advantage of centers and guards. And I'm not talking about moving him inside with his hand in the dirt like we've seen. I'm talking about moving like Clowney played. Like, that is an added dynamic to Will Anderson that could absolutely change the game, Ron.
Yeah, Clowney, Michael Parsons, the way he moves up and down the line
good
of scrimmage
point. Yes.
Against guards and centers. Yeah, we didn't see a ton of that a lot. And probably a lot of stuff. Him and Danielle Hunter on the same side together. We could see a lot of things to create more openings for Will Anderson. All right, Christian Harris, to me, I know we didn't get a lot on there. There's another, like, I think there's probably another dimension of how they're going to use him, too, that could be different, too. Do we see him in a different way? Because what we saw in game plan against Lamar Jackson, he was a big part of it and really showed a lot of what he could do. All right, coming up, Clint, there's a clear, to me, clear number one reason why this team, the Houston Astros, have the resurgence here they've had in this month. We'll discuss that because I think it is a fair question in the conversation to see if they can actually maintain that. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive as we keep strolling right through. Hey, is he on the court? Does he just keep calling when they're at practice and stuff? Does he just call LeBron dad, or does he call him LeBron?
Or does he call him Bron? That's a good question.
Like to try to really kind of.
I think you have to call him MF-er.
Yeah, because you call him dad, right? Like that. Like he's got to be one of the teammates, man. He's got to be like, yeah, man. All right, Bron. Hey, Bron.
What do you think the other guy's calling? Because that's going to be whatever's easiest. What do you think the other two?
Yeah,
the
rest of, Bron. What
really?
Bron or LBJ?
No, hell no. I'm talking about when they're on the floor. They're going up and down. No, I don't think they do.
What do you think they call him?
I think there's a nickname. I think there's some kind of nickname.
Bron, 2-3. Everybody saw it, but Bron.
I don't know. I just don't think it is. I think that's what you and I would call him if we were playing at the athletic club downtown.
You think he has a more secretive nickname than LeBron or than Bron? Bron.
Yeah.
Bron.
Yeah.
Bron. That's what it sounds like.
No, I do. I think there's something else there. I do, and that's going to be very easy. That's going to be very easy for him. Bron wouldn't be bad either, but I think it's
like if you're LeBron, would you let him?
Well, hell yeah.
Or nah, man. Nah, don't call me by my name. It's, you know, it's dad, pops, whatever.
Oh, that'd be terrible. That'd be awful. Now this guy's now you're wondering off into like
father,
like you're what? But you're wondering off into like you're letting your mind go to a place where it could be really bad for Bron. Bronny, by the way, is him talking.
But
about.
I mean, it's just those little things you got to think of. Hey, Dad, like, oh boy, yeah.
I'd call it, if it was going to be anything of that sort, I'd call him Pop.
Pop. That I think.
Pop,
that
what the hell are you thinking? I'm wide open out here, man. You over on a double team. What the hell are you doing?
I think Pop can fly. I think Pop can fly. I don't know about if I'm him. You can't call me. If I'm him, you can't call me Bron. Now that, damn it. Now that's
That don't even sound right.
Like you can't call you can't call me. There's got to be some sort of father, dad, pops, something. And old head ain't gonna work either. Please don't be disrespectful to me. Maybe call an old man. Hey, old man. Some people do that. It's my old man. Old man. Oh, Grays. All right, Clint, I think we can look at a lot of different things with the Astros and this, especially in this stretch they're in where they've won 7 in a row and they've won 10 of 12 as they head to New York to play the Mets. But, Clint, to me, it's really clear the biggest thing that has happened in this resurgence and why this team has gotten to this space. It is clearly the starting pitching. Since June 1st, Hunter Brown, Clint, has an ERA of 1.16, and he's got 4 wins. Ronel Blanco, who I think you said it earlier, he's 8-2. He's been this team's best pitcher throughout the year. Since June 1st, he's got an ERA 2.10, and he's got 3 wins in that time frame. Framber Valdez, the one that you know, kind of frustrates us, and now he's got the dreads back. Since June 1st, has 3 wins and a 2.73 ERA. Spencer Arrighetti, the one that you probably say maybe the weak link of the group thus far. In 6 of his last 7 starts, Clint, he's allowed 3 runs or less. The one was when he was called into action because it was a late game scratch for Justin Verlander, which led to him being on the IL with the neck. He gave up 7 runs in that game, but the rest of them, in 6 of his last 7 starts, he's 3 runs or less, Clint. And that kind of shows you why they've been so hot and why they've had such a big comeback in June. My thought is, Clint, how sustainable you think this is? How real and how long do you think that the Astros, is this something you think the Astros can depend on? Maybe not to this level, right? Like, you know, an ERA at 1.16 for a month. I mean, that's amazing. But how confident are you that they can kind of keep this up, pitching well like this up with this group?
Well, I'm confident that the wheels aren't going to come off. I don't expect all 3 of these guys to stay as hot as they've been right now. That's like asking this team to swing the bats as well as they did against Baltimore, against anybody the rest of the season. I think that's unreasonable. But the fact that there's and the fact that they're 3 of our 4 healthy pitchers right now really scares me. But the thought that 2 of these 3 guys are gonna fall apart and not be who they are right now come late season, I'm very confident that's not gonna happen. To sit here and say, boy, I think all 3 of these young guys are just gonna continue to get better and be lights out and be dominant down the stretch, and I think that's a bit much. But I think it's safe to say that I would bet that 2 of the 3 would. And I don't know who those 2-3. I'm just saying the odds of somebody getting injured, the odds of somebody getting touched up a bit, the odds of somebody, it's like Spencer Arrighetti running out of steam, having not pitched as much once he gets deeper in the season. Something's going to come up here. These guys aren't going to just continue to stay in a rotation in the same spot and continue to dominate, I wouldn't think, as a whole. But I would bet you that 2 of the 3 would to some degree.
That's the thing. What you said there late, that's the one, right? Tyler, how many of these guys have not thrown a lot of innings in Major League Baseball in a season that's going to just probably plow through what they have. You said Spencer Arrighetti, Clint. That's obvious. Ronel Blanco has not thrown like a full season's worth of starter innings. Right? Hell, they told him he only had 7 starts prior to the season. He's going to, I would say, potentially blow through. Now, maybe Clint and Tyler Hunter Brown learned from last year, because that clearly is something that seemed to hit him. In the second half, it seemed like he slowed down. Now, Fromber, you feel like, obviously, this is a guy who has led the American League in innings, and he is generally almost amongst the league leaders in innings. He should be fine. He should be – that part shouldn't be an issue. But I still – I don't know – Hunter Brown, I don't know if he's thrown 150 innings before. But that's the key, Clint, right there. With Hunter Brown, but especially – Ronel Blanco and Spencer Arrighetti, what does this look like in August? You know, when it starts to get like, do they still have the same steam? Do they hit a wall like we've seen before? To me, that's the only question, because right now it feels like these guys all have the stuff and the confidence level right now to be able to attack hitters and pitch to where, you know, they give you quality start worthy games. That's the only thing to me, is with those guys who have not gotten up into 150, 160 innings, how their arm reacts to that. That to me is the only thing that makes me wonder if this is something that can be sustainable.
Yeah, Spencer's the one that worries me. Like I think to your point right now, just speaking directly to it, I think Hunter Brown's ready. Like Hunter talked about running out of gas last year, but it was more about over time allowing his mechanics to slip a bit, and then that ended up causing him to throw some very hittable pitches, and it ended up hurting him. Hopefully him knowing that and understanding that, he's going to be able to correct it. But I think Hunter Brown, from a does he have enough gas in the tank standpoint, I think he's fine. And the thing about Ronel Blanco, although he hasn't done it, Ron, like he's got one of those effortless deliveries, kind of like Fromber, where he doesn't look like he's straining much at all to do what he does. And in the sixth and seventh inning, he's just as good as he's been in terms of stuff. He's just as good then as he was in the first and second. So I think, although Ronel Blanco hadn't done it, I think the effortless action is going to allow him to do it. I think Hunter's ready. Spencer's the one that's got you said it the other day, he's got a real Lance McCullers vibe to how he comes off the mound.
Yeah.
There's a lot of torque. There's a lot of whip.
And he never has been here.
Yeah, and he's never done it.
You said, right. Hunter Brown, at least maybe he could pull some experience from last year, and now his body and his arm can kind of get used to it. There is no use to it for Spencer Arrighetti. Like, this will be, he'll be running into something he's not done before.
I agree. Spencer's the one that
I want to see. Blanco. I hear you on that. I want to see him. Anybody who sweats as hard as he does, I do want to see how his arm bounces back when we get to August.
Did you see the bill of his hat last time he pitched?
I thought he was going to get knocked again. I mean, don't grab it, man.
The bill of his hat was shining. It was so wet. I've never sweat like that. I never sweated in a helmet like that.
He sweats like he can create Vaseline.
Like he can literally sweat Vaseline.
He can cake it up enough to create that.
It's illegal, Ron. If it's not rosin or sweat.
That's why I said, don't touch your hat. Oh, yeah, he's...
I mean, it was dripping off of the bill of his hat in an inning. It's like, it's not like... That's weird, man. It's not, you know, it's not many, like he was out many, there for 2 hours straight.
How many jerseys did he say?
I didn't hear that.
He said he goes to two, like at least 2 jerseys a start.
That was his excuse why he had that gob of goo in his glove, huh?
He said he sweats like hell. He needs to go through a couple of hats. he needs to go through about 2 or 3 hats too. Just go ahead and throw them bad boys in the trash, man. And you don't get to have a lucky hat. Could you imagine if he just had one hat he wore? How bad that thing would stink. Like we wore in Little League, if he just had one hat,
stink, huh?
Yeah, the sweat marks coming down the side of it. All right, coming up a little 5 o'clock fire as. The Astros, they get some news that I believe Clint will be excited for. We'll also get you ready for this huge series. And one of what is becoming one of the real developing stories in the NFL has added more to it. We'll discuss all of that coming up next at 5 o'clock fire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive as we keep strolling right through. Hey, is he on the court? Does he just keep calling when they're at practice and stuff? Does he just call LeBron dad, or does he call him LeBron?
Or yeah, does he call him Bron? That's a good question.
Like to try to really kind of.
I think you have to call him MF-er.
Yeah, because you call him dad, right? Like that. Like, he's got to be one of the teammates, man. He's got to be like, yeah, man. All right. All right. All right, Bron. Hey, Bron.
What do you think the other guy's calling? Because that's going to be whatever's easiest. What do you think the other
team? Yeah,
the rest of
the Bron.
Really?
Bron or LBJ?
No. Hell no. I'm talking about when they're on the floor. They're up. They're going up and down. No, I don't think they do.
What do you think they call him?
I think there's a nickname. I think there's some kind of nickname.
Bron, 2-3. Everybody saw it, but Bron.
I don't know. I just don't think it is. I think that's what you and I would call him if we were playing at the athletic club downtown.
You think he has a more secretive nickname than LeBron or than Bron? Bron.
Yeah.
Bron.
Yeah.
Bron. That's what it sounds like.
No, I do. I think there's something else there. I do, and that's going to be very easy. That's going to be very easy for him. Bron wouldn't be bad either, but I think it's
like, if you're LeBron, would you let him?
Well, hell yeah.
Or nah, man, nah, don't call me by my name. It's, you know, it's dad, pops, whatever.
Oh, that'd be terrible. That'd be awful. Now this guy's now you're wandering off into like
father.
Like you're but you're wandering off into like you're letting your mind go to a place where it could be really bad for Bron. Bronny, by the way, is him talking.
But
about.
I mean, it's just those little things you got to think of. Hey, Dad, like, oh boy, yeah.
I'd call it, if it was going to be anything of that sort, I'd call him Pop.
Pop. That I think.
Pop,
that
what the hell you thinking? I'm wide open out here, man. You over on a double team. What the hell are you doing?
I think Pop can fly. I think Pop can fly. I don't know about if I'm him, you can't call me. If I'm him, you can't call me Bron. Now that damn it. Now that's
they don't even sound right.
Like you can't call there's got to be some sort of father, dad, pops, something. And old head ain't gonna work either. Please don't be disrespectful to me. Maybe call an old man. Hey, old man. Some people do that. It's my old man. Old man. Old Grays. All right. Clint, I think we can look at a lot of different things with the Astros and this, especially in this stretch they're in where they've won 7 in a row and they've won 10 of 12 as they head to New York to play the Mets. But, Clint, to me, it's really clear the biggest thing that has happened in this resurgence and why this team has gotten to this space, it is clearly the starting pitching. Since June 1st, Hunter Brown, Clint, has an ERA of 1.16, and he's got 4 wins. Ronel Blanco, who I think you said it earlier, he's 8-2. He's been this team's best pitcher throughout the year. Since June 1st, he is he's got an ERA 2.10, and he's got 3 wins in that time frame. Framber Valdez, the one that you know kind of frustrates us, and now he's got the dreads back. Since June 1st, has 3 wins and a 2.73 ERA. Spencer Arrighetti, the one that you probably say maybe the weak link of the group thus far. In 6 of his last 7 starts, Clint, he's allowed 3 runs or less. The one was when he was called into action because it was a late game scratch for Justin Verlander, which led to him being on the IL with the neck. He gave up 7 runs in that game, but the rest of them, in 6 of his last 7 starts, he's 3 runs or less, Clint. And that kind of shows you why they've been so hot and why they've had such a big comeback in June. My thought is, Clint, how sustainable you think this is? How real and how long do you think that the Astros, is this something you think the Astros can depend on? Maybe not to this level, right? Like, you know, an ERA at 1.16 for a month. I mean, that's amazing. But how confident are you that they can kind of keep this up, you know, pitching well like this up with this group?
Well, I'm confident that it's not going to – the wheels aren't going to come off. I don't expect all 3 of these guys to stay as hot as they've been right now. That's like asking this team to swing the bats as well as they did against Baltimore, against anybody the rest of the season. I think that's unreasonable. But the fact that there's and the fact that they're 3 of our 4 healthy pitchers right now really scares me. But the thought that 2 of these 3 guys are gonna fall apart and not be who they are right now come late season, I'm very confident that's not gonna happen. To sit here and say, boy, I think all 3 of these young guys are just gonna continue to get better and be lights out and be dominant down the stretch, and I think that's a bit much. But I think it's safe to say that I would bet that 2 of the 3 would. And I don't know who those 2-3. I'm just saying the odds of somebody getting injured, the odds of somebody getting touched up a bit, the odds of somebody, it's like Spencer Arrighetti running out of steam, having not pitched as much once he gets deeper in the season. Something's going to come up here. These guys aren't going to just continue to stay in a rotation in the same spot and continue to dominate, I wouldn't think, as a whole. But I would bet you that 2 of the 3 would to some degree.
That's the thing. What you said there late, that's the one, right? Tyler, how many of these guys have not thrown a lot of innings in Major League Baseball in a season that's going to just probably plow through what they have? You said Spencer Arrighetti, Clint. That's obvious. Ronel Blanco has not thrown like a full season's worth of starter innings. Right? Hell, they told him he only had 7 starts prior to the season. He's going to, I would say, potentially blow through. Now, maybe Clint and Tyler, Hunter Brown learn from last year, because that clearly is something that seemed to hit him in the second half. It seemed like he slowed down. Now, Framber, you feel like obviously this is a guy who has led the American League in innings, and he is generally almost amongst the league leaders in innings, he should be fine. He should be that part shouldn't be an issue. But I don't know Hunter Brown. I don't know if he's thrown 150 innings before. But that's the key, Clint, right there with Hunter Brown, but especially Ronel Blanco and Spencer Arrighetti. What does this look like in August? You know, when it starts to get like, do they still have the same steam? Do they hit a wall like we've seen before? To me, that's the only question, because right now it feels like these guys all have the stuff and the confidence level right now to be able to attack hitters and pitch to where, you know, they give you quality start worthy games. That's the only thing to me is with those guys who have not gotten up into 150, 160 innings, how their arm reacts to that. That to me is the only thing that makes me wonder if this is something that can be sustainable.
Yeah, Spencer's the one that worries me. Like to your point right now, just speaking directly to it, I think Hunter Brown's ready. Like Hunter talked about running out of gas last year, but it was more about over time allowing his mechanics to slip a bit, and then that ended up causing him to throw some very hittable pitches. And it ended up hurting him. Hopefully, him knowing that and understanding that, he's going to be able to correct it. But I think Hunter Brown, from a does he have enough gas in the tank standpoint, I think he's fine. And the thing about Ronel Blanco, although he hasn't done it, Ron, like he's got one of those effortless deliveries, kind of like Fromber, where he doesn't look like he's straining much at all to do what he does. And in the sixth and seventh inning, he's just as good as he's been in terms of stuff. He's just as good then as he was in the first and second. So I think, although Ronel Blanco hadn't done it, I think the effortless action is going to allow him to do it. I think Hunter's ready. Spencer's the one that's got you said it the other day, he's got a real Lance McCullers vibe to how he comes off the mound.
Yeah.
There's a lot of torque. There's a lot of whip.
And he never has been here.
Yeah, and he's never done it.
You said, right? Hunter Brown, at least maybe he could pull some experience from last year, and now his body and his arm can kind of get used to it. There is no use to it for Spencer Arrighetti. Like, this will be, he'll be running into something he's not done before.
I agree. Spencer's the one that
I want to see Blanco. I hear you on that. I want to see him. Anybody who sweats as hard as he does, I do want to see how his arm bounces back when we get to August.
Did you see the bill of his hat last time he pitched?
I thought he was gonna get knocked again. I mean, don't grab it, man.
The bill of his hat was shining. It was so wet. I've never sweat like that. I never sweated in a helmet like that.
He sweats like he can create Vaseline.
Like he can literally sweat Vaseline.
He can cake it up enough to create that.
It's illegal, Ron. If it's not rosin or sweat.
That's why I said don't touch your hat. Oh, yeah, he's...
I mean, it was dripping off of the bill of his hat in an inning. It's like, it's not like... That's weird, man. It's not, you know, it's not like he was out there for 2 hours straight.
How many jerseys did he say?
I didn't hear that when he said
it. I think he said he goes to two, like at least two jerseys a start.
That was his excuse why he had that gob of goo in his glove, huh?
He said he sweats like hell. He needs to go through a couple of hats. he needs to go through about two or three hats too. Just go ahead and throw them bad boys in the trash, man. And you don't get to have a lucky hat. Could you imagine if he just had one hat he wore? How bad that thing would stink. Like we wore in Little League, if he just had one hat,
stink, huh?
Yeah, the sweat marks coming down the side of it. All right, coming up a little 5 o'clock fire as. The Astros, they get some news that I believe Clint will be excited for. We'll also get you ready for this huge series. And one of what is becoming one of the real developing stories in the NFL has added more to it. We'll discuss all of that coming up next at 5 o'clock fire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.